Hey there, and welcome to the Analytics Neat podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bruno. Analytics Neat is a weekly podcast that debuts on Mondays, exploring all things media, marketing, and analytics. I'd also urge you to continue the conversation with me directly, either through BillBruno.com or via Twitter, at Bill Bruno, using the hashtag Analytics Neat. So welcome back. This week, we've got two topics that I want to walk through. The first is going to be a tool called Feed Builder that was launched by the Washington Post. And the second will be a review of the California Consumer Privacy Act, also known as the CCPA. So in the news this past week, the Washington Post made some waves, and it wasn't for politics this time. It was for their introduction of Feed Builder. And as they put it, it's a way to provide better personalized ads from a contextual standpoint. Basically, they had some. They have a research team in-house that's called RED, which stands for Research Experimentation Development. And that team had done a study, and in that study they found that nearly 75% of the participants that they surveyed liked ads that were contextually related to what they were reading. Conversely, they didn't like the cookie-based targeting that shows you ads for products that you've seen along the way, right? Whether you've gone to Zappos and added shoes to your cart and it follows you everywhere you go, left, right, center. And many of those types of situations, those cookie-based sort of follow approaches, have popped up in our A Little Too Personal segments in the past on this podcast. And so RED developed a tool that automatically builds multiple creative assets and scans all available content and then utilizes proprietary personalization technology to align ad units with what users are reading at that time or have read during their current visit. Overall, I think this is really fun innovation, but I'm curious to see how they are able to contextually link ads for everything people are reading. There's going to be situations where you run out of options or there aren't options based on whatever that particular topic might be. I'm also intrigued to learn more as this becomes a real thing in the marketplace because there are so much wasted ad spend on poor placements and terrible audience targeting based on old, inaccurate data. So innovations like this, whether it's just for the Washington Post website or whether they market it elsewhere and start to sell it to other people as a standalone technology, could offer some interesting things for clients to use some more of their first-party information as a way to personalize some of the ads based on the experience around them. And I think holistically speaking, that just presents the opportunity for a better experience. I mean, obviously the research that the Washington Post had done said that 75% of people responded better to contextually relevant ads versus the ones that were following them around. And I think it's safe to say that we've all been annoyed by ads that follow us to every single website that we go to. So kudos to them. This is a great step forward, and I look forward to seeing more about it as it enters the marketplace. So let's go ahead and switch gears. While I know that the CCPA was signed into law in the middle of 2018, and it's been a while since that's happened, I have had a lot of questions about it lately and the implications of it. So I thought it'd be good to do a quick review of the policy, give some thoughts on where we go from here, and also align CCPA and from a comparison perspective to GDPR to help put that into the right light. So as the resident lawyer of Analytics Neat, we'll go ahead and jump right in. Like GDPR, CCPA has a warning runway before it's enforced. However, January 1st, 2020 will be here before we know it. And it should also be noted that the bill is being cleaned up a bit and worked on to refine as we near the launch date. There's a lot of confusing elements. I'm going to call out one specifically here later on. But overall, the bill is going to need a little bit of work from a clarity perspective before it can actually start to be enforced on January 1st. And so there are five core tenets of the policy. However, I'm leaving one off to discuss later because there's a bit of confusion around it. So the four main tenets that I see pertain to the residents of California. And it's that those residents have a right to know what personal information is being collected about them. They have a right to access that personal information. They have a right to know whether their personal information is disclosed, and if so, with whom. And they have the right to know whether their personal information is being sold. And if so, they have the right to opt out of the sale. And that last one there is a really key point, obviously, because there's a lot of money around ad revenue, targeting, and the cookie pools and data from a third-party perspective that are used to create all of the quote-unquote environments that people use to entice ad revenue dollars to come their way because they have a better ability to target the audiences that a particular brand might be interested in. So as I talked about those four tenets, the two words that I used in every single one of them was personal information. So let's dive in a little bit to what that means, because it is very broad in this in CCPA. And so as a result, because of the broad definition, it includes obvious things like names, addresses, social security numbers. But the terms extend beyond that. They mention things like geolocation, IP address, shopping or browsing history, behaviors, consumption behaviors, consumer preferences, so on and so forth. It even makes mention within the bill of households. And that brings into question as to how that will be enforced when the policy is largely focused on an individual, yet riddled throughout are references to households as well and the rights of an individual to block or opt out of tracking for an entire household. And I think for me, the question there becomes how you're going to be able to do that unless it's all on the same IP address, obviously, or the same browser. And you know, as we all know, when you're using cable providers like a Comcast or otherwise, your IP address isn't always the same. You're not paying for a static IP address. It changes and can change on a whim. And people are not paying extra money, unless you're a business, for those types of static IPs. So jumping back to that mysterious fifth tenet that I left off, we'll talk about that one right now. And it kind of fits in with the fourth tenet that you have the right to opt out of the sale of your information. Because there's a lot of confusion within the bill currently with regards to whether or not a business can offer incentives or better pricing for consumers who opt in for data collection. One clause permits it, and then literally right after it, the other denies it. So obviously there's some work to be done here before January 1st, but it's a really interesting premise, right? Because if I'm a consumer and I want to allow you to capture my data, and we've decided that data is a currency in the industry because it is, then why can't I get a benefit over somebody who chooses to turn it off? I think that's a really good idea. I think that incentives should be offered. There should be payment for it, much like how I think college athletes deserve to make money as well, right? There's just things that could probably be easily fixed. And obviously you still need to have the security, the control, you know, privacy standards and you know, reporting breaches, so on and so forth. But if we're moving into a world where consumer data and the individual data is becoming so highly sought after and provides a massive benefit to brands, then the consumer should benefit as well if they choose to participate in those programs. So if you do have a breach or if there is a violation, what are those penalties? And the California Attorney General can bring actions for civil penalties up to $2,500 per violation or up to $7,500 per violation if it was intentional. However, the CCPA also grants businesses a 30-day period for those violations to rectify it and avoid a fine. So you've got, you know, really it's $2,500 or $7,500 per individual, whether it was done with intent or otherwise. But that can obviously add up depending on the size of your data set or the number of customers that you might have. And so the scope of this, again, for CCPA versus GDPR is very much focused on California, because those who have to comply from a corporation perspective are for-profit entities that collect consumer data. So if you're a business in the state of California, you have to meet one of the following thresholds to be subject to compliance. You have to earn more than $25 million a year in revenue. You have to annually buy, receive, sell, or share personal information of 50,000 or more consumers, households, or devices for commercial purposes. There's that household mention again that I talked about earlier. Or you have to be a business that derives 50% or more of your annual revenue from selling consumer personal information. So as you think about those, I bet there's a lot of businesses in California that are worried, or at least should be a little bit worried. But when compared to GDPR, CCPA has a lot of similarities in terms of the demand for transparency from businesses, the reporting of data breaches, better protection of consumer data, and a similar definition for being a quote-unquote data processor. But overall, the scope for the CCPA is a lot smaller. It's focused on the state of California, businesses and consumers that are in the state of California, versus GDPR and the entire EU, regardless of where the business is, the people are, so on and so forth. And the reach for GDPR even extends to businesses in other countries who have EU visitors or consumers, right? And the reality is that GDPR in the US will most likely be managed at the state level in order to see things actually get passed quickly. So you can expect to see more of this coming up around the US. It shouldn't be ignored either. The prep needed to start yesterday. Many organizations thought the same about GDPR and started waiting a little too late, right? But just like when that launched, you know that there are people just chomping at the bit to file lawsuits, whether they are warranted or not. many of which we covered back in episode 9 in the archives when we talked about GDPR. The minute that hit the wire, the minute that it was enforceable, you had lawsuits start to be filed. But while the CCPA needs a little bit of work before it's ready to be enforced on January 1st, I think this is all just a step in the right direction. You know, we're starting to see the end of value for third-party data. We're starting to see organizations look elsewhere, look to their own data from a first-party perspective to better enhance the customer experience, to drive better decisioning and personalization, and ultimately try to create a better overall customer experience. Third-party data is under attack. We're going to start to see a lot of changes in terms of the technologies that thrive in this new world versus the ones that don't. And I, for one, think it's a step in the right direction because consumer data and data in general is so valuable to businesses that it should be met with the same rigor from a privacy and a security perspective as well. That data should be upheld in the highest regard and it should be protected, because if we as consumers choose to share it, then brands should be stewards of that data and protect it in return. And I also think one of the conversations that should be happening in the executive briefings and the boardrooms internally at brands is what technologies you're actually using to capture consumer data in the first place from a digital perspective, where it's being sent and how it's being stored. And many of these software as a service vendors that capture customer interactions and customer data across the digital channels do not offer the right level or feature set to be able to go in and delete an entire customer profile in an easy way from those data sets. So overall, this becomes a massive challenge and something that organizations need to be talking about internally and in their boardrooms. But with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this week's episode of Analytics Neat. Thank you again for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you listen to. If you have any topic ideas, please send them directly to me or to the podcast at Bill Bruno on Twitter or at Analytics Neat using the hashtag Analytics Neat. And we'll be back again next Monday with another new episode. Until then, have a great week.